Yarmark, Chief Executive Officer of the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence, is our special guest, and she has been doing this for a long time, and domestic violence survivors are just beside themselves, still are. Karen, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad. How are you?
I am fine, and of course, my friend, my partner, is here, Paul, and this is just it's incredible what's happening.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. What we try to offer through this most recent release of annual statistics is the understanding of just how complex the challenges are for domestic violence survivors. We know that the complexities associated with trauma, lack of transportation and housing, the safety net that's collapsing around them, really has required a 38% increase in advocacy and a 22% increase in safety planning.
Wow.
Within our resources and the same number of advocates that we've always had, which is nearly 400 statewide.
Yeah, Karen, some of the numbers here, let's tell folks, for example, in the fiscal year of 2018, your group provided counseling services 88,674 times, 56,000 advocacy cases, that's a 38% increase, safety and planning, a 22% increase, 82,300 plus, and from information and referral, you had almost 77,000 of those, that's a 26% increase. Question for you. More violence happening or more reporting of what's already out there? What do you think? Or a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, what's been frustrating for us is that in 2017, there were 8 domestic violence homicides, which one homicide is too many. But for a state that averages 14, we were encouraged. And then just last year in 2018, we had 18 domestic violence homicides.
Mm-hmm.
Which was more than double. So there's sometimes that, honestly, I've done this work, as you said, for a long time, and there's just no rhyme or reason. You know, what we know is that domestic violence shelters are at 123% capacity all the time. These statistics around the advocacy work and safety planning are really even telling for us, because we're trying to adjust and understand how do we grapple with these circumstances given the resources that we have.
Karen, you know, when you stop to think about this, and when I was reading this, you say, and we are living in America. I can't understand some of this.
Well, it's a really major public health issue. That's what I say to people all the time. I mean, this is it's a learned behavior. It's oftentimes young, in particular young men, who view this growing up in a household, and then it's a behavior that can be perpetuated over time. That doesn't mean that men can't be victims, though. We certainly serve men as well. So it's a real societal challenge. And thankfully, in our state, we know that help is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And Karen, the thing that people don't understand is if a woman or a man or anybody seeks out your help, if they seek out your help, that often, although you help them with your organization, that often then opens up another possibility of anger or retaliation from this person that has abused them in the first place.
Yeah, well, you make a good point. I mean, I think that we did push out one fact that we know here in Connecticut, where there have been really volatile and dangerous and lethal circumstances, and across the country, when someone chooses to leave this type of relationship, a domestic violence relationship, it is the most dangerous time. So what we know, therefore, is that reaching out to an advocate wherever you live is critically important, because that's fully confidential. It's protected by state statute.
Mm-hmm.
It is free. And they are really skilled around safety planning, for example. So when you were talking about how dangerous or there can be retaliation, that 22% increase in safety planning is enormously important, along with the 38% increase in advocacy.
And Karen, we all know that so many children are involved, and it's just mind-boggling. It really, truly is. Is there a future plan? Is there something that people can do, or is this just something we're going to have to live with?
Sure, I would say two things. So we also know, so there's nearly 1,000 kids who are in domestic violence shelters annually in Connecticut every year, and thousands more who are helped in the community. And just as a also point of information, almost 70% of the kids in domestic violence shelters are under the age of 6. So we're talking about a very young population that we're serving. Prevention is the key. This opportunity for me to talk to both of you this morning. It is the most underfunded aspect of our work. There is no line for prevention, funding revenue stream for prevention work. And so we do public awareness by pushing out our own these statistics to highlight the significance of this issue and to highlight that help is available 24/7 in our state.
Karen, what's your helpline once again for men or women to call if they need help?
Sure, it's 888-774-2900.
All right, 888-774-2900.
And again, Karen, please understand that you can call the two of us whenever you need us. And don't be, you know, don't say, well, I just called them. That's got nothing to do with it. This is something that we've all got to be involved in, and I just want you to know that we're here for you when you need us.
Thanks so much. We appreciate being on.
Thanks, Karen. Karen Jarmak joining us. Yep, CEO of the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Number to call if you have questions or you may need help or somebody you know may need help. 888-774-2900. 888-774-2900. 729.